Welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Malika Pryor-Martin, standing in for our regular host and director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, Amanda Carlson, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can take us with you when you are out and about and moving, whether inter-island or across the world, on www.guardiantalkradio.com. And you can also go to the app or Play Store and download TuneIn Radio to listen to us. Tonight in the studio, we have Stephen Schmidt and Jace McKinney, who are both featured artists in the NAGB's newest and latest, and it's going to be great, exhibition Medium: Practices and Roots of Spirituality and Mysticism. So at the end, or heading into the last break, we were just talking about how both of these artists' practices are subtly and also very explicitly informed by religious and spiritual practice. And Stephen, you were just talking about how sometimes you do have a spiritual bend, but other times it's less intentional. And so we were just having a really good conversation during the commercial break, and I was like, wait a minute, pause, because y'all need to say this on the radio. It needs to be on the record. And so if we could just kind of rewind, in a sense, okay, just coming back to that allegory and the use of...
What was I saying?
We were talking really beautifully about, like, the Bible, and while some of it is forthright, there are other parts of it that are more allegorical, and how that informs...
Yeah, and I think that definitely, like, affects the aesthetic and the whole narrative of the work that I'm doing. Because there's certain information and stuff, like, my work kind of comprises of many, like, symbols and stuff that I've kind of made for myself over the years and try to make my own language out of it. Yeah, but there is, and some of it is, like, super personal that probably people may not actually get unless they know, like, my story, or, but all of it is, like, pretty direct as well. But, yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of interested in that whole idea of making, like, narratives and allegories as a way to, like, when someone sees it, they can be informed by it if they want to. And that can subtly influence them. I really just noticed that with just watching television and TV and stuff like that. Like, my niece, we were actually watching a show yesterday on YouTube. It was the Cup song from Pitch Perfect.
Okay.
There's,
yes,
like, a music video that she's four. She kind of taught herself it. But throughout the whole video, she's, like, doing the stuff, and she points out her favorite part, and her favorite part are actually the two black women in there that are actually doing it. And she's like, oh, those two are my favorite out of, like, all of the hundreds, because she has that that representation in there.
She sees
so
herself.
Like, it's the actual images and stuff. We don't know, like, how they actually inform us.
And
how they influence us over the years. So, like, I've, you know, just things like getting them, you know, like black Barbie dolls or something like that can actually, you know, just at an early age, just kind of see those images. And it's good to kind of see, like, television and stuff kind of focus on that as well. Like, now, like, really trying to get those representation in. And because at an early age, man, that could really see, change how you view the world and also how you view yourself, right, in that space. So,
yeah. I mean, art is, I think we are in a place where we are, art is, society is desperate to kind of heal in a way from just the many events that have transpired in recent years. I mean, and even events that have happened in the past. Like, I was telling someone, you know, in comparative, when we were talking about just black issues and race issues, which have kind of come to a heated head, you know, I said, hey, listen, there's a story in the Bible about the children of Israel. Children of Israel in slavery for 400 years. And they were in this desert, and because they'd been so conditioned into slavery, they said, hey, we want to go back. You know, we want to go back to slavery, back to Egypt, because this desert and this experience of going to Canaan is
sort
ridiculous.
I'd rather deal with the devil I know.
I'd rather deal with the devil I know. Whatever the case may be. Right. So God had to kind of say, you know what? This stubborn and hard-headed group of people, I need you guys to die off. like, and it's in terms of, you know what, since y'all want to be here, and y'all have this kind of, like, just mixed idea of how things should go, in this 40 years, it took a 40 years of a generation to die off because they weren't willing to go into the, this promised land.
Wilderness for you.
Yes. They had this kind of view that just permeated things. And to take that story and now apply it to the Black experience, where people are like, man, why don't y'all get over slavery and stuff like that? But if you really take it into example and you look at it from that lens, Black people were and everywhere was impacted by slavery through colonial systems for 400 years and 400 plus years. And really, when you look at it, we're only 50 years removed. So we're that generation of people who were kind of like, man, you know, like really affected and impacted by it in a negative way, where it's kind of expressed, is just dying off. Wow. So we're just moving out of it. And we're just starting to heal and really start to express or really express and talk about in a constructive manner these issues. So when I think about artists and just the spiritual power that we have to heal, I do think about the narratives again with the children of Israel. There's a story in the Bible where it talks about God. He pulled a group of men out of the children of Israel in the desert, and he says, I'm going to imbue these men with spiritual powers in terms of to create all fashions of things. These were the artists. This is the family of artists that created this tabernacle that God said, you know what, I want y'all to create this elaborate thing so I could communicate with you guys. And it wasn't necessarily that tabernacle had any special powers, but it was kind of just like, as I expressed to a friend, it was almost like a date. You know, when you're dating someone that you're trying to have a personal relationship with, you go through an elaborate ritual in establishing something. And I think if to kind of bring that and make it practical, I think sometimes as artists, we need to go through elaborate rituals, painting, performance art, creating these realms, these environments, because you're trying to establish a relationship with your audience. Mm. Where you want to communicate your message, and I would hopefully think that message is ultimately to heal, to wake up, to realize. You know, you could kind of tell them a message where it's like, you need to wake up. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to them? You know, yeah. But the art is really something relational. You know, where this is what it means to wake up.
Yeah. But I think that art is also like a two-way process, in that
that
during the making of it, you mm-hmm. actually learn a lot about things that you may think you may have like an end result, but during
absolutely.
That process you learn
absolutely.
A whole bunch of other things that could kind of, you know,
mm-hmm.
lead to different things.
Oh yeah. It's definitely interactive, where the artist in being a producer definitely learns as well from the experience, and that's hopefully something that all would take away, because it is a learning process. I mean, because there is knowledge, right? There's foreknowledge. There's knowledge that you have in your head, but then there's experiential knowledge, which is totally different. Like, we could talk about this show, we could talk about what's going to happen, but when we get there, it's a whole different ball game.
True.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, even the idea of the show, like what I got from just reading the artist statement when they sent it to us, was just looking back at those sort of ingrained sort of you know, the way that you maneuver through life and those ingrained things, and how do you actually manipulate that or acknowledge them as mm-hmm. As something positive or negative, whether or not it needs to be altered or remains the same or whatever. Mm. Yeah, so I mean, with that, I started to really look back at the work, especially the work that that was chosen for the show, because it was from a collector and I made it, I think, about 4 years ago now.
Okay.
And it was for the Sketch 24, which is at pop-up studios, where they just allow artists to come in and make work for 24 hours. And then, it was a fundraising event. But at the time, like, I kind of made it with a certain idea. Mm-hmm. But even, like, looking back on it now, just seeing what happened, what transpired before that, and having, like, the bird's eye view and what happened afterward,
sure.
and seeing the meaning and just the gesture of the just the hand. Basically, the piece is a drawing of a hand, and it's dropping a fan blade. So, I mean, just really looking back at that and seeing, like, what happens there. And it's a subtle narrative and a subtle allegory of just coming out of your comfort zone and leaving, and actually having to go and like into the darkness pretty much and try to find your way back out.
Mm.
Yeah, in order to you know, just become a better person. So,
wow. I mean, I think that's also one of the things that's really special about art is that it encourages people to move through something. I mean, and sometimes if it, you know, if it's a physical space and you can literally move through it, but I think when art is done well, and not necessarily in the sense that like it's beautiful or you know, lovely, and also when it's curated well, there's something about it that gives it a kind of a dynamic and a life of its own that sort of brings people into and then through a process, and you get to take away as a viewer maybe something that the artist didn't even necessarily intend, but the beauty of it is that it has this depth and these layers that people can actually walk through that space or think through that space and think through that piece and then be able to walk away with something else that's really significant. And as the only person here who's not a maker,
I'm sure you are in your own way. It's probably just
I will accept. Hey, hey. I will accept that. Not really. But I do come from makers and folks who are creative. So I'm a lawyer by trade. So you know, a lot of people think about that as being like very not creative, and they're not necessarily always wrong. But I do think that there's something to having an appreciation for art and being exposed to art as a person that isn't a maker, and that a person that maybe creates it in the context of the classroom, like you all mentioned, you know, sort of going to class and having art classes, who are never, ever, ever going to be practicing artists because it's just not for everybody, like to be a professional artist. And I think that's okay. Like, you know, when the kids go on American Idol and they can't hold a tune, like, it's okay to be like, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you love to sing.
Yeah.
You remember how you said you wanted to be a veterinarian? I think that's okay, because if you're tone deaf, then you're probably not supposed to be.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that's okay, but having the exposure and having the opportunity to have the experience is so important. And I see the value of art for me as someone who isn't a maker in that it does teach the brain to think differently, to be creative in the way that you process information. So how do you all see the value of art sort of playing out? And I know you said, you know, like sculpture, and you're like going to remake and make over, you know, the Bahamas with sculpture, because we do have this public, you know, these public works that are historic and that speak to a very specific narrative that's, you know, that's certainly pre-independence in most cases. How do you see art sort of interacting and intersecting with like everyday people, those of us who are not going to be like professional makers? Maybe we're going to attend the workshop and make something really cute, but we're not going to do what it is that you all are doing in terms of being presented in a national space. But how do you see art sort of working for the rest of us? I mean, for me, it was just having the experience, because I do think that it changed my brain.
I think it just doesn't force feed you information. It depends on the work that you make, right? Like some artists, like it really works for them. It's like, I think the big thing about being an artist is to just be honest with yourself and whatever practice that kind of delves. You could almost tell like when people are trying to do other things that doesn't really suit whatever the message is or whatever they are as humans, I guess.
I get that.
But but I think it's just you can make some work that is honest, and it kind of being able to almost figure out looking at something and being able to make these connections, that's a valuable skill. And a lot of companies and stuff like that, they actually take people, at least in BC, they try to take them to the National Art Gallery that's there, Vancouver Art Gallery, and they, you know what I mean? You have to do some critical thinking inside the space and try to make these connections based off of whatever, like gestures and color and how these all affect like the dialogue or the narrative of the thing. And people may think that that's not important, but when you actually sit down and be like, hey, like, what is even the distance between two objects, you know what I mean, inside your painting could kind of change the whole narrative of it. And it's good to kind of play with those things and come up with completely, completely new things as you go along.
Cool, man. Yeah. I think when I think about the value of art, what resonated with me, which what you said, is that, you know, being kind of creating art where, I guess what I got from what you were saying is being authentic about it.
Mm-hmm.
Being authentic about it. Whether it be even your attention, whether it be selfless or selfish in nature. I mean, self selfless, right? Selfless is a whole different ballgame. But whether you're trying to problem solve, I think it should come from an authentic place, a place where it isn't bad energy. That's just the only way I could summarize it. Because good art could also come out of fear, like somebody actually taking a fear and creating it into something that's tangible. But I think it's just some bad energy. I think it's just like the lack of authenticity, like not being true to the feelings or something that you might have. What I was talking about earlier was that I think that for us as artists, we're really good at identifying problems, identifying issues and illustrating the issues. But perhaps it's because of society. Perhaps it's because we can sometimes, my peers in some ways can be very cynical because they're looking beyond all of these different things and all these different issues or solutions that have disappointed. And they said, I'm going to highlight it. What's the use? I'm going to kind of like get on my speaker or get on my canvas. I'm going to blare this thing because right now I need people to know, or the people who are in authority to know, that this hurts or this is uncomfortable, this issue or this event that's happening in our society is uncomfortable. I mean, I know one of the recent issues that I don't know too much about or know the details about, I know a lot of people are very offended or very hurt and confused about the process of what's going on with a lot of Haitian immigrants. Being kind of deported, and just the approach that I guess the government or officials and people in authority are taking, so how do artists address that? And my thing is that instead of just getting on a foghorn and kind of saying this hurts, how do we use our power as artists to create solutions? And I think that's a road that is less traveled, because we have been conditioned to kind of just, again, talk about the problem, identify it, but we need to rewire ourselves and look at our creative process, because we are very creative, and we can also be very innovative in just our approach, and just kind of redirecting that innovation, whether it be like, oh man, I want to use a new palette style, and kind of just say, how can I be innovative in solving this problem? And I think that's the new trend that I do see developing out of the arts. I mean, for one who I mentioned before, Keyshawn Monroe, he saw that there was an issue with us in history. And if you don't document history is doomed to repeat itself.
Indeed.
Especially people don't see it again. They're going to repeat and fight the same old battles. But what he is doing is that in addressing that problem, he's highlighting things from history that have kind of disappeared or being hidden, and he's bringing it to light. One of those things is through his work, Swan Song of the Flamingo.
Yes, which was also featured at the NAGB.
Yes.
But it's also the subtlety is in his work as well, right? Like, even though it isn't just necessarily documenting, like, it's also providing, like, just even based off of the gestures, like, just trying to remember some of the paintings, like, the gestures, there's, like, a glimmer of hope inside of all of them that, like, that you kind of need, in a way, Like, these things are tragic. You're not just, like, taking a photo and saying, all right, and you're not saying, like, this is X, Y, Z, but there's just gestural things inside of them that kind of hint at something that to work toward, but it isn't explicitly stated.
Absolutely,
and,
yes.
And that's that's like the approach that I really like.
That's the romancing. That's the part of like romancing your audience, really kind of like using that skill as an artist to say something but not say it, but the person gets it, they feel it. You don't have to say this is beautiful. It's kind of stated in just the composition, in the way the story is delivered, the colors you use.
Well, artists, I mean, y'all folk have the capacity. All my American just came out right there, y'all. y'all have the capacity to inform the way that you're expressing it, right, in a way that's quite visual, so that the audience doesn't necessarily have to get punched in the gut. Like, you could punch us in the gut.
Yeah, man.
Or you could be like, I'm not going to punch you in the gut, but I want you to I want you to feel something incredible here. Like, yes, this is brutal, but right, so in the coloring, I can shift it so that it doesn't you know, you get it, but you don't necessarily feel the full presence of the tragedy. Yeah. But you understand that what, you know, that what you're seeing is tragic, or you understand that, you know, what you're seeing is incredibly powerful. So yeah. I do think that that's also something, so just speaking to the whole idea of the problem solving. And as awesome as this conversation has been, unfortunately, I have to bring it to a close. Mm-hmm. Tears, tears, sadness, sadness. But thank you all so much for joining me and for being such incredible hosts.
Thank you, and guests.
I really appreciate it. But there are a few things that I have to say before we go, because I don't think I ever mentioned the date of the opening of this really awesome exhibition, Medium, Practices and Roots of Spirituality and Mysticism, that I just keep talking about so much. But both of these artists, as well as 31 other, for a total of 33 artists, are also featured in this amazing exhibition, including Nettie Simonet, Alan Pacino Wallace, Antonius Roberts. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. But the opening is tomorrow at 6 o'clock. It includes also the unveiling of the Gates Commission, so hopefully you guys will get a chance to see that beforehand, by master metallurgist Tyrone Ferguson. So we are really excited about that. Yes, so I think about that as a unification of our campus, because of course we have the amphitheater that is almost complete but not quite, but we'll get a chance to interact with that at the opening as well, and also the sculpture garden that's coming into play, that we've been able to partner really fantastically with the Bahamas National Trust to bring into fruition, that includes a number of native plants. So just coming back to speaking to the Bahamas as in the national narrative, and using flora as a way to also tell that story. So all sorts of exciting stuff. It starts at 6 o'clock, Rhythm and Youth. I mean, it's just a lot of awesomeness that's going to be happening tomorrow. So you should definitely be there for that. The following day, we have Shepherding Courage, which is an artist talk on Medium, this really amazing exhibition that is taking over the entire top level, of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. And then on Monday, if you're a member, and there's still time for you to become a member, right? You should join us for a sip and paint with Mr. Jace McKinney. So if you are a member, you get a chance to learn more and hear more from Jace and walk away with your very own piece. So we love to take care of our members. We love our members. We love our membership. So if you're not a member, you should become a member so that you can RSVP and join us that night. And that is Monday at 6 o'clock. That's December 18th. So hopefully you can join us for all of these fantastic activities. We look forward to seeing you. Thank you so very much for joining me. My name is Malika Pryor Martin, standing in for your regular host and director of the National Our Gallery of the Bahamas, Amanda Carlson. You're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget to take us with you when you are traveling about. www.guardiantalkradio.com, or you can even listen to archive shows on our website. That would be the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, by the way, at www.nagb.org.bs. Hit the education menu, scroll down to Blank Canvas, and check out all of those archive shows that you've been missing, and I know you're just dying to listen to. Thank you all so much, and have a great night.